Well, good morning, church family. I hope you are having a wonderful day, a blessed day, a wonderful Sabbath. It's good to see you. It's good to be with here through Zoom again. And for those that are actually connected through their phones and as well as YouTube, we welcome you as well. And thank you for being part of this service. Today we have something special. Okay. Well, as you know, February, what is celebrated during this month?
Month of love.
Okay, love, or yes.
Valentine's Day.
Valentine's.
Okay, Valentine's Day, right? That's what the whole world knows about what is celebrated, Valentine's. But Valentine's means what? You know, it means friendship, right?
Yes.
It could also mean what? Companionship?
Yes.
It could also mean like helpship, right? Mm-hmm. Or it could be like a partnership. But most importantly, you know, all those terms that I just mentioned, it's binded by one simple word, which is what? Love. So today, we have some people that had been experienced that kind of, or I'll probably say that have experienced that or have that journey when it comes to partnership, mm-hmm. companionship, helpship, you know, but most importantly, love that they had navigated, you know, for many years. Some maybe, you know, for a couple years, others for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, maybe some like 30 plus years that they have experienced that. So today we want to dedicate that moment. We want to dedicate a special message for those specific. Now, we have a few couples that had actually decided today to commit into renewing their marriage vows. So we have a few couples. As a matter of fact, I think we have a Barbara that is connected, and I'm pretty sure Greg might be with her as well. I see Dominic. I see Amber, you know, they both also wanted it to take this opportunity. I want to see if I could do something differently here. I want to see if I could put on the spotlight. You see the couple right there? Wow. I don't know if you see Greg right there. You see Barbara in the main screen? Well, I see it.
Yes.
Because I put them like that. And I don't know. I asked Sam to give me the co-host. Right, so the way I could do this, let me see if I could do Dominic. Do you see now Dominic and Amber right there?
Yes.
Wonderful. Look at them. Look at what a beautiful couple that is as well. I don't know if Anita and Tony are together, but I see Michael and Robin. Let me see if I could add them as well. Do you see them too?
I saw and Anita.
Okay, then let's see. Let me see if I could find them. Tony and Anita. They're gotta be. Oh, there they are. Okay, let me see if I could add them to the screen as well. There they are. So we see like four beautiful couples right there that to date they had agreed with each other, but mostly, you know, they want to make the promise with each other that they want to continue living together, enjoying their marriage journey. So today I want to share this specific message. It's going to be a short message. And then with these couples that you see right there, they want to renew their marriage vows. So at the end, we will do that so that all of them could promise themselves, but most importantly, to commit with the Lord. That they will continue. They will continue going in that journey through that commitment that they made the first day that they actually got married. So that promise that they did with each other. So, but before that, then we will see what God has to say. And I want to address to these couples and also to all other couples that are connected right now. And maybe they probably were not aware that we were having this kind of special service today, or maybe they didn't agree to it at that moment, but maybe they want to now. So we'll give you some time as I share this message to you. We'll give some time to those that want to also join these four couples that want to renew their marriage vow at the end of the message. Okay, so if these couples, if you want to sit together, if you want to stay together, maybe hold hands together as I share this message for you and for all of the ones and for everybody, actually, you know, that is listening at this moment. So let me put the screen right there. Let me share my screen so that way you could follow what God has to say to all the couples and to all of us specific. I know I put you on the spot right there, but I want to, maybe I'll take you so that way you don't feel that everybody is looking at you. Okay. So let me see if I could undo this again. Okay. And then that way you could just enjoy this message, and then I will have to put you again on the spot right there. Okay. Excellent. You see on your screen, I guess, the title of this message, Mutually United. And I know, like, you know, the two words means kind of like the same thing. But it's important for us to understand that, you know, when we are in unity, we need to be mutually, in a way, like we need to agree that we want to be in a unity. I don't know how many of you have ever participated in a game called the three actually legged race. How many of you?
The three legged.
Okay. Have you ever tried to participate? If you haven't, in this kind of race, it's not easy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It is not easy. As it seems, but because often, you know, we have to keep in mind that the learning curve is sometimes steep, right? As competitors, as couples get used to, you know, each other, to walk, to get used to their style, to get used to who they are. Sometimes they stumble between them and fall, just like what happened in this race. Sometimes if you're not coordinated well, if you're not helping each other well, you might fall and you might not reach to the end of the line. But ultimately the two people, you know, that cross the final line, you know, they have to learn to do step by step. They have to learn to coordinate with each other, held together, you know, by a deeper appreciation with the feeling of having, I will say, overcome the challenges they face. And at the end of the day, when they cross the line, they will see the joy that they actually had made it to the end. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, we read that God, having created a world that was perfect, okay, he recognizes that Adam did not have to do the race of his life alone, okay? So this is the reason why the Creator says, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Now, the book of Genesis goes on to tell us that God decided to create a helper for Adam. See, the word helper, for those of you that like to be like more deeper into that understanding, what that word what the word actually means. In Hebrew, this word is eser, okay, which means companion, all right? Not a subordinate, but someone who is equal to the person that he is or she is helping. So, in fact, this word is used to describe in the book of Psalms what God really is to us and what God wants us to be with one another. And so it was that God created that solution to Adam's loneliness. See, God caused Adam to fall into a deep, the Bible, you know, describes, and from his ribs, from one of his ribs, right? He created Eve. He created that companionship. He created that partner. He created that helper. And it's important for us to understand this, the reason why God did that. Because from one person, God made what? Two. Sometimes we miss that. Sometimes we miss that. And how do I know that? Well, you know, immediately after the creation story, right, of Adam and Eve, scripture tells us in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, therefore, a man should leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they should become what? One flesh. So, why? So, you know, then you wonder sometimes, and you might say, but how is that possible that we could become one? Well, how is that possible that from one man got created, you know, another? Well, everything is possible for God, right? So God united Adam and Eve in the marriage bond, making them one. Now, I might be, you know, like talking, you know, for some, because I don't want to leave no one out. Because sometimes, you know, God may call, you know, some people to live in that celibate life in order to fulfill in the best way God's plans. Those who are together in marriage are united by God, just like this race, right? The three-legged race, which they need to run together toward the finish line. So unlike the race, I wanna mention this. Unlike the race, this bond is not only physical, but the couple unite by the hand of the Creator. It is also mutually united emotionally and also spiritually. So, you know, the challenges, right, that you faced in this race, I will probably notice that marriages isn't always easy. There are ups and downs, and you know that. Some of you that have been married for many years, you might know that. There are ups and downs. Sometimes these challenges can create a division instead of a unified vision, causing the couple to maybe untie the bond and abandon maybe the race, that journey that they need to run together. So when those difficult moments come, it is good to remember that in the three-legged race, it is not stopped by a fine piece of thread that can break easily. See, as married couples, you are united in a secret relationship linked with a core created by God that you cannot break. You will never break. So it is the grace in his love that unite even when you humanity seeks a way out. God will never break that bond. So as marriage couples, what steps you think you need to take to stay together? What is it? What do you need to do? What do you need to embrace to be able to keep running the three-legged race, not to separate from each other, just like the Bible says, right? Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. So how can you ensure that you will reach the finish line of this race with joy, sticking together and honoring God with everything that you do? Keep in mind that a happy marriage is not the product of a chance, right? That many people think. Not it is by magic. See, a happy marriage must be mutually united by following the biblical advice that in that joint collaboration of each other, or joint collaboration, I would probably say, like, with each other is needed. It's important that you have that. That's the reason why. Helper. Remember the term helper. So with this, I want to share with you three important steps, very quick. Three important steps that will help every couple to finish with strength and even joy their race. But most importantly, it will help you to stay mutually united. So the first step is patience. I may be looking like some of the couples that are going to commit today. Patience. Let me maybe just, you know, you don't need to answer this, but to you couples, have you had patience throughout all these years? You will understand that patience is very important. You know, I had the privilege to participate in a renewal of marriage vows for a couple that were married for 50 years. 50 years. Now, when the husband was asked, what was the secret of their success? What is it that they do to be able, you know, to stay together, to continue running that race? Well, you know, his answer wasn't that sure. You know, it was a very long answer. But when the same question was asked to the wife, she described it in one word. She explains it in one word. Okay? Guess what the word was? Her answer was
love.
Patience. And she added, you know, we have had patience to accept the difference or the differences that each one forge at home in our social, educational, and even religious circles. See, she said, patience to wait for the other to understand or accept a new vision of life. She also said, patience to accept that temperament and character of our partner. Patience to wait for changes in your spouse. Wow. Can you believe that? 50 years? And counting maybe now for that couple? You see, I think it is essential to define patience. Patience is basically that ability, right, to tolerate or endure a specific situation without feeling nervous or losing your cool or losing your temper. Now, for this reason, I encourage spouses to cultivate patience in all the details of marriage life. Not patience when your wife behaves well or your husband does whatever the wife tells him to do. No. Patience in everything, even in those disagreements, even in those moments that might be those moments that you might be experiencing difficulties. Have patience to choose from the simplest, such as the color, you know, of the curtains and furniture, what to eat, the place to go on vacation, you know, clothing, and even to the most complex choices, that is like education, children, family budget, you know, the purchase of a home, the purchase of a car, how to educate your children, savings, and that ability even to retire. And I could go on, you know, and on and on. Patience for all that. See, the Bible describes patience as this. Love is what? It's patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast and is not proud. And also in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in what? In love. So you see the ingredients to patience is actually love. If you love one another, you respect each other. If you love one another, you will have patience with one another. Now, the second step to stay mutually united and to finish this three-legged race is commitment, okay? When a man and a woman marry, they are motivated by reasons of happiness and personal fulfillment. But the commitment they make to each other is not limited only to the good times. Remember that. In the book of 1 Corinthians, you know, chapter 7, you know, you could read it, you know, the whole chapter. There it is illustrated how the husband and wife must not only survive, but they should develop a pure and more rewarding relationship. I could describe, you know, like the culture of the Corinthians at that time was very similar to ours today. Men and women were, you know, encouraged to seek and to satisfy all kinds of pleasure that they could wish for. And when Paul writes to the Corinthians, many translations actually refer to the city as immoral. See, the culture of the Corinthians practiced a variety of self-worship, committing themselves to whatever makes them happy. And that's what's happening, you know, these days. You know, couples rely basically, or they look only for their happiness and not for the happiness of their spouse. So that culture, the Corinth, you know, like as is actually described, you know, in the letters of the Corinthians, they were free to choose in their relationship whatever they wanted. There was nothing sacred in couple relationships, and nor was the central role of God recognized in the act of marriage. And this is the reason why that Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians and redefines that importance of staying engaged with God and with the other person. And I want to read to you a specific 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2, all the way through 5. Look at what he says. He said, pay attention to these. Paul says, nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife that affection due to her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I mean, I think what Paul is defining here is a commitment in every different way than what the culture dictates or what society dictates. So in other words, what Paul is stating here is that commitment is not something that happens on the wedding day and is later forgotten. But he's also saying that commitment is being dedicated, honoring, and being faithful to a person, or I will probably put it in this word, being faithful to that person that you have committed to be faithful to. See, commitment is the act of staying united in the race of life. There is no choice. You are committed. So we are called to have a greater understanding of marriage, obedience to what God has united. Let men not separate it, right? And the only way that that could happen is if you together are committed. So committing to stay together in this race of life no longer looks like the norm. Okay? See, that excuses for separating and divorcing are plentiful, and you know that. The reasons are plentiful, and you know that. But if you are willing to run this race together to the finish line, you must take that, even that most unacceptable step of commitment, so that you could finish that race. Even if society tells you otherwise, even if people tells you otherwise, even if your friends tells you otherwise, even if your family tells you otherwise, you are committed. When you make the commitment, remember that you're not only making the commitment to you or to your spouse, but you're making that commitment to God. Now, we see that the first and second steps in running this three-legged race successfully are patience and then what? Commitment. Now, the third step is declaring. Now, what is that? Some of you might say, what does this have to do with marriage? Now, declare means to testify, right? To proclaim, to announce, and even to express. So as a marriage couple, you need to make known to others so that you could be an example to others. See, in the three-legged race, right, of marriage, there are times when you stumble, even in which you fall, but there are those who do not allow those difficulties to define their marriage. They get up. They learn again to communicate one with the other, to hold each other and to take a step forward, slowly but surely, like some people might say. Then another step, and another step, and another step. See, those are the people who inspire and stimulate other couples as well. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, look at what he said, "Though I speak with the tongues of man and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal." Now, one can say marriage speaks for themselves. People are always observing, you know, they're always looking, those who are married, and evaluating what it is said and done. See, if marriages are absence of God's love, that they simply become two people making noise. And that only happens if there is no love. So keep in mind that marriages are observed. People are looking. Your kids, your children might be looking at you. Your neighbors might be looking at you. Your friends might be looking at you. They see you as an example, and because they want to model that example, and they want to follow, and they will model what they see, and they will also model what they hear. So Jesus reminds us, and you could look at in Matthew chapter 5, specific in verse 16, that the world is watching our good works. But also they are even watching our wrongdoings as well. And the question is your marriage something praiseworthy, or something this I would probably say like or something that is not worthy of others to see and to model? What do your marriage declare to others about how you love God and one another? I challenge you to remember that your marriages speak for themselves. It can declare a message of love and union in this world full of disunity and division. You could actually can communicate loyalty, grace, and truth in a context where infidelity and where the truth is just relative. Now, what will your marriage declare to those who are watching you and those that are actually hearing? What does your marriage declare? Because that's what the word declare means. See, your union has to declare that you will be true Christian examples as one for the other, with God's help, and that you will support each other in moments of joy, in moments of difficulties or loss, to continue growing spiritually in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the three-legged race, right, of our existence, we want to intentionally take these three steps: patience, commitment, and declaring. But without the sacred bond of the presence of Christ in your marriages, that link may be easily broken, and two people may be easily separate and go on their own way. See, and I'm not only speaking, you know, to couples at this moment as well, because you and I need Christ to bind us with bonds that cannot be broken if we are to survive that challenge that this life will bring us. All of us needs to be binded by the love of Jesus. So remember, patience, commitment, and declaring. Those are very fundamental. Those three elements are what the Bible describes as the pillars of a relationship. That is also, you know, the pillars or the foundation that God has that relationship with us, because he has patience with us. Yes or no? I don't speak for yourself, but I speak for me. I could tell you, God does have patience for me as a sinner. But also God has committed to me that he will guide me, that he will lead me, that he will take me to the place that he wants to take me. But it's mutual, remember that. Just as God has patience for us, we need to have patience for him, and we need to have patience for our neighbors as well. Just as God has committed to us, we mutually need to be committed to the Lord as well. Just as God has declared to the world the promises, that declaring has to be mutual as well, because we need to declare those promises to the world, and we need to lead by example. So at this very moment, I just want to take this specific moment, especially, you know, for those that had decided, okay, to commit themselves again, to declare to declare that commitment in the renewal of their vows. So we have four couples. I don't know if there are others as well. So I would like to ask those four couples, Barbara, Greg, Anita, Tony, Robin, Michael, and Amber and Dominic.
Christina and Carlos.
Oh, Christina and Carlos as well. Okay, praise the Lord. So if you don't mind standing up, wherever you are at this moment, I don't know where you are. You might be in, you know, in your living room, in your kitchen, in your patio, in your room. You know, just stand up. I mean, as a matter of fact, we don't even need to see you. I mean, if you don't want us to see you. I want to see if I could put them again, or maybe not. I don't want nobody to feel, you know, embarrassed or anything like that. That's not what we're trying to do here. But I just want you to stand up, face each other, and hold hands, okay? Just as you did, you know, the first time, you know, when you got married, okay? So this moment is, I will say it again, it's special because we celebrate your marriage of many years. We rejoice in your continuing love for each other as you renew your marriage vows today. We also want to acknowledge that we thank God for the passion and joy which you have known and the strength with which you have been blessed. Today you declare again publicly before God, family, church family and friends, your special love and reaffirm your lasting commitment as partners in love and life. When you first maybe join hands and hearts in marriage many years ago, you did not know where life will take you. You promised to love, right? To honor and cherish one another through all things. Life has surely, and I could assure that, brought you both wonderful and blessings and difficult challenges over all these years that you have been together. But here you are today, having fulfilled those vows to love, honor, and to cherish each other. And you should feel blessed today. You should be happy. You should be honored because you have made it. You have walked together and that you will continue walking together with the Lord on your side. So as you celebrate here today, and as you reflect back over all the years as husband and wife, I ask you, do you now wish to reaffirm the vows that you took years ago when you first got married?
Yes,
I do.
Amen. Amen. So as you face together, as you hold hands together, I want to ask the husbands. I want to ask all the husbands. And if you are over YouTube, I mean, you could do the same. I know the couples that are here, the five couples that are here, we could see them over Zoom. But if you are maybe connected through the phone or maybe through YouTube or any other means, I ask this to you. And this might not be something, you know, that you might not know. This is something that you actually did as well in that first time that you got married. So to all the husbands, I ask, husbands, will you continue to have your wife, whom you are facing and holding hands as your beloved wife, and continue to live in this happy and loving marriage? And do you reaffirm your love for her, and you and will you love, honor, and share her in sickness and in health, for richer or for poorer, for better, for worse, and forsaking all others? Be faithful to her for as long as you both shall live.
I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
Amen, amen. And if you are over Zoom, I mean over, you know, YouTube as well. I mean, God is, remember, you know, God knows it all and God sees it all. God knows your heart. So thank you, husbands. And now I will ask to all the wives. Wives, will you continue to have your husband who you are facing and holding hands as your beloved husband and continue to living in this happy and loving marriage? And do you reaffirm your love for him? And will you love, honor, and cherish him in sickness and in health, for richer or for worse, for better or worse, and forsaking of all others? Be faithful to him for as long as you both should live.
I will.
I do.
Do you, Dad?
Amen. As you continue facing each other and holding hands, I would like to pray for you. I would like to pray to God to continue blessing your marriage, to continue being that anchor in your life, that anchor in your marriage. So if you have that opportunity, not just holding hands, not just facing each other, but will you go on your knees together? I would like to dedicate this prayer for all of you. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for this specific moment. Thank you for these couples, Lord. They are a great, they're a great example to all of us, a great example, Father, to society. They have been running this three-legged race that is not easy, Father. But they have you as that anchor. They have you as the one who is leading them. They have been patient to one another. They had committed to one another. And they both together have declared their love for each other to be an example to this society. So, Father, I ask that you bless them, that you continue, Father, reaching out to them, to their life, that you continue providing to them, that you continue, Father, giving them wisdom, that you continue, Father, illuminating their life, their path, so that they could go and finish this race. So I ask, Father, that you continue blessing them. And as they renew these vows to one another, Father, that they remember that these vows are set by the holy and wonderful God. So bless these marriages, Lord, and help them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.